May we be helped to commence our worship of God this morning by singing together in number 1032. Hymn 1032. Tune Rhodes, number 53. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. My Son, give me thy heart. Let me thy sorrows bear. 'Tis not thy caution, power, or art can save thee from despair. Lord, captivate my soul, subdue the power of sin, my vile corruptions, O control, let faith the battle win. Hymn 1032, Tune Rhodes, number 53.
Thank you.
has helped. I will read 5 short portions from the Holy Word of God. May we read them together. First, to be found in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. They are the words of the Lord Jesus as he taught his disciples. Commence to read at verse 24. Matthew 10, commencing to read at 24, and we'll read down to 38. The disciple is not above his master, nor a servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. These words were spoken by our Lord as he taught his disciples before sending them out to preach. If we now turn to Matthew 16. And read together from verse 21. This was a different occasion, when the Lord Jesus was speaking about what he must suffer. But you will find the same messages are included, and there's no vain repetition in the Lord's ministry. It is a point that he wanted to emphasize to his disciples. Reading from verse 21 in Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is that? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Not only did the Lord Jesus repeat the message concerning being his disciples and following him, but the Holy Ghost, in inspiring the different writers of the Gospels, caused each one to record this vital message. So if we turn together to Mark 8 and read from verse 34 just down to verse 38. Mark 8, 34 to 38. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the Gospels the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. If we then turn together to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, read in verse 23 to 27. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Then if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, reading verse 23 to 29. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 23-29. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." We leave those readings there. May the Lord be pleased to bless that word which is so emphasized within his word. Help us to pray. Almighty, holy, holy, holy God, help us, we pray thee, to come in through that way opened by our dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We plead his name. Oh, may we once more bless thee for that great work undertaken and finished, that work of salvation, that work which was and is the good pleasure of each person in the Trinity. Oh, we do bless thee. Humbly acknowledge how undeserving we are to be recipients of it. But, oh dear Lord, may each one be brought to know that they are within that precious, chosen, elect people, those to whom thou didst die, dear Lord, those who the Holy Father gave to thee, those who the Holy Spirit leads and teaches. Oh, may we be found in that precious number, being drawn by our Heavenly Father, being saved by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, being taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how unworthy we are to plead these holy, holy, holy things. But Lord, do not leave one out, we pray. May each one that gathers with us here be gathered in to thy fold, to be precious in thy sight, dear Lord, to be amongst those to whom that word is left on record, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Lord, may we with humility answer, why me? O gracious God, why me? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter whilst there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? Lord, it's not of ourselves, but Lord, it is so infinitely precious. And so, Lord, we pray that we might, under the constraining of the Holy Spirit, choose in return. Lord, that thy will might be, our dear Lord, replicated in our will. That all those that thou hast given thee might be with thee where thou art. Father, I will. It was thy holy will, dear Lord Jesus. And oh, it is our will that we might be found there. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Lord, to draw each soul. O Heavenly Father, draw each soul that they might come to Jesus, to be found sitting at his feet, learning of him. O Holy Spirit, take of the things of God and teach us, open them to us, that by thy light we may see light. That under constraining love we might be drawn to follow thee, to choose thee, to run in thy ways. That we might, as that one in the Pilgrim's Progress, be made willing to flee Vanity Fair. Lord, as it were, to hold up thy hand against it, to have nothing to do with it, but to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. Lord, draw us from earth to heaven away. And so, Lord, as we enter thy courts, may it truly be with that desire to hear thy voice, that desire, that prayer in our heart, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And, O dear Lord, may that which is read be thy choice, not ours. The hymns that we sing, thy choice, and not those of oneself. Lord, that text to be taken, thy choice. And may the engagement for this evening hour be thy work, and thy servant sent up with thy word. For unless thou, dear Lord, art in it, it shall be in vain. So, Lord, we seek thy work in us and in each soul. Lord, real religion is a personal religion between one's own soul and God. But are the fruits of that religion is also to look for thy work to appear in the souls of others. May we be upon our watchtower, pleading over each precious soul. Lord, do be pleased to visit this corner of thy vineyard this day. Make us fruitful, blow upon us, bring forth the spices, Lord, that scent acceptable in thy nostrils. Cause air to be that which is acceptable in thy sight, because it is thine own work, thine own creation. Thou didst look upon the creation of this world in that day, and it was good. Lord, we do believe thou dost look upon thy new creation in soul, and behold, it is good. Lord, may we each be born again Christians with that new life, that work within. So, Lord, make us living stones fitly framed together. We do plead. Dear Lord, remember our brother Deacon where he is this day with his dear one. May they also know thy presence to go with them. Dear Lord, thou knowest those that listen in where'er they are. May they also have that sweet sense of thy presence. May there be that sweet drawing and desire to gather with thy people. Lord, it is scriptural. Oh, may we each observe these things and be enabled to forsake not the gathering of the saints together. Lord, help each one. Thou knowest the circumstances of each one. Thou art not a hard taskmaster. Thou understandest the case of each one. But for that precious work of love in each soul's heart. Lord, leave us not then. Help us now. Oh, we would pray for our land, our nation, our rulers. Lord, we would commit them all into thy hand, pleading, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy, Lord, for we are very, very, very deserving of thy mercy, of thy wrath, we should say, oh, forgive the error. Lord, so deserving of thy wrath, fit for judgment, Lord, but we plead thy mercy. We pleaded, Lord. Nineveh was ripe for judgment. Thou didst have mercy. Lord, we pleaded. And could it please thee to turn the hearts of our rulers heavenward to shine in, that there might be thy light shining in their breast, that they might see, confess, mourn over, and plead for thy forgiveness, thy leading, and thy direction. Lord, work, we pray. Thou knowest those things, Lord, around the world. All is seen by thee. Lord, do govern. Lord, and get the honour and glory. Oh, could it please thee for the oppressed country of Ukraine to be relieved? Lord, we pray, but that there might be blessings in it to those elect souls wherever they are. Lord, get the honour and glory to thy precious name. Manage all these things, Lord. Manage us. And now, Lord, may we be gathered together to hear what the Lord will speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We ask for thy precious holy name's sake. Dear Lord Jesus, amen. The notices for the opening week, God willing, are that this evening Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach. On Tuesday, Mr. John Hart. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Matthew Hyde is engaged to preach both in the morning and in the afternoon, with the afternoon service to commence at 2:30 p.m. and there will be no evening service. On Monday the 29th of May, week Monday, we hold the chapel anniversary service commencing at 6 p.m. at which Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged to preach. There will be no service on the Tuesday evening, the 30th of May. On Monday the 5th of June, a church meeting has been arranged, God willing, to commence at 6:30 p.m. And today we take our monthly collection. Let us now continue our worship by singing together hymn number 940. Hymn 940 to the tune Sorely, 231. The friends may think, but we sang this hymn last Lord's Day evening. True. And we sang the last hymn this morning, last Lord's Day evening also. But I felt constrained to choose those two hymns again, not realising immediately that I'd chosen them last Lord's Day evening. Though not I trust, but the Lord. So, as the scriptures have been repeated this morning, so also are two of the hymns. Hymn 940, tune Sorely, 231. Compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of thee ere time began, I choose thee in return. Whate'er consists not with thy love, O teach me to resign. Amidst all the intense of bliss, if thou, O God, art mine. Hymn 940, June Sorley, 231. Has helped. I will read a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom in 2010, and his text you will find in one of the portions that we read. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And dear friends, there appears to be a continuance from Lord's Day evening last week, when the Lord's servant took his text from Luke 14, which we haven't read today, but yet another portion. And his text there was verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so we venture with this sermon. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. One important point, which does not seem to be emphasized so much today, the cost of discipleship. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ continually warned people concerning the cost. He told them to count the cost. You remember there was that occasion when one of the scribes approached him with most beautiful language. He said, Lord. Yes, he called him Lord, when so many were deriding him. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. It was blessed language, beautiful language, but he had not counted the cost. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, have you realized that there is a cost? Have you counted that cost? And there was silence, and we never meet with that man again. Oh, the necessity of counting the cost. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is the cost. If our religion never costs us anything, then our religion is worth nothing. If any man will come after me, now there is a coming to the Saviour, and there is a coming after him. If there is ever to be any real coming after the Saviour, then there first must be a coming to him. That coming after the Saviour is really discipleship. If any man will come after me. But then there is that coming to the Saviour. That is vital. That is living faith. That is where the Holy Spirit brings every sinner saved by grace to the Saviour. To his feet, in helplessness, as sinners, in need, in complete dependence, trusting in Him, looking to Him for all. That is coming to the Saviour. And those who feel their need as sinners are invited to the Saviour, welcomed to the Saviour. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those with that spiritual thirst in their hearts, the world cannot satisfy it. They thirst for pardon, forgiveness, salvation, heaven. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That is to be satisfied. The Lord Jesus clearly declared that all of those whom His Father have chosen would be marked by this being brought to Jesus, coming to Him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then the blessed promise. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So there is that coming to the Saviour, as being brought by grace to the Saviour, as being led by the Holy Spirit to the Saviour. So there is that coming to Him, and then there is that coming after Him. Really, a right coming after Him is as sweetly constrained by His love. Because this sinner who is drawn to the Saviour also comes to the Saviour. Who comes to the Saviour, he finds his hope, his salvation, his heaven there. So there will be the desire to be found with him. There will be the desire to go after him. That is because of what the sinner has found in the Saviour. It is not some kind of carnal decision to follow the Saviour. And that is the beginning of it. It is a going after the Saviour, a coming after the Saviour, as drawn by Him, attracted to Him, constrained by His love. If any man will come after me, if there is that desire, if there is the willingness, well, we have the terms of discipleship. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So the Christian life is a life of self-denial. You cannot follow the Saviour and follow the world. You cannot go to heaven with Christ in one hand and the world in the other. Let him deny himself. And it is not a legal denial. Some of us go back to our early days. We could not deny our pleasures. We cannot deny our enjoyments. We did not want to. We did not want to part with them. We could not give them up. We wanted the world. We loved the world. And if we had felt that we ought to, we must, we were compelled, we had not got the power to do it, let alone the willingness. Let him deny himself. But it was not altogether a hard thing to give up the world when the time came. I know some people have a struggle here and there, but really, there were two things which did it with us. One was to have a view of a never-ending eternity. Oh, how those pleasures faded then. Let him deny himself. We were called to deny these things in the light of eternity. And the other, in the light of Calvary, the sweet constrainings of dying love and atoning blood, the voice of love and mercy that sounds aloud from the cross, let him deny himself. And gladly, willingly we did, made willing in the day of his power. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It is that denying, not just of the world and its pleasures, but it is that denying of self. Martin Luther once said, "Oh, that I had not a myself." Another divine said that self was his greatest enemy. So that sinful self has to be denied. What does the Epistle to the Romans call it? The mortification of the flesh. What does the Epistle to the Galatians call it? The crucifying of the flesh. Let him deny himself that past life. Let him deny himself. There is another side to it, beloved friends. That is the denying of any hope of salvation short of Christ, the denying of our self-righteousness. In some ways, that is harder than denying the world and denying sinful flesh, denying anything we have done, everything we have done, anything we may do. Over the years, I've often mentioned the case of the great writer of the evangelical revival, James Hervey of Weston Favell. He was the great writer on Christ's imputed righteousness. As a young clergyman, he was a legalist. He suffered from poor health, and the treatment in those days was to follow the plough and breathe the freshly upturned earth, which he did with an old ploughman. The old ploughman was a godly man. They talked about religion, and Hervey propounded a question: what is the hardest thing in religion? The old ploughman put it back to him. And he then replied, to deny sinful self. The old ploughman then smiled and said, "Sir, I think you are wrong. I think It is to deny self-righteous self. That was the beginning of the thinking which culminated in some of the pieces that Hervey wrote. They were once the glory of the churches, thereon an apatio. So no one has heard of them today. People love them so much. They called children after him. Mr. Godston was called after him. Mr. John Hervey Godston. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. As you are led along by the Spirit of God, there will be the self-denial. The Lord Jesus in another place spoke of it as going that second mile. He spoke of it as being willing to spend and be spent. So it is not just denying bad things and evil things, but there are things in your life and they are not bad and they are not altogether wrong. But you can see it is far more for the honour and glory of God if you do not have them. Let him deny himself. So the apostle says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There are sins to be discarded, and there are some things you cannot altogether call them sins, and they do not do you any good, but they do not do you any good spiritually. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, that man who is running the race. Well, he does not carry his briefcase. He leaves that behind. There is nothing wrong in carrying a briefcase, but it does not help him if he's running a race. Let us lay aside every weight. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Sometimes, if you are led to serve the Lord, if you are led to obey the Lord, there are lawful things, right things, and you have to deny yourself in them. Why? Because there are more important things. There are things more for the honour and glory of God. They will be more of a help to his people. And there will be times in your life when there will be a choice before you. Is it going to be this? Or is it going to be that? And you can see that it is the best. But you can see it is going to be a denying of self. But thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Interestingly, this is the first time the word cross is used in the New Testament. And I wonder if the disciples really understood it. We understand what taking up the cross means. Looking back, and especially after the Saviour bore his cross and was crucified, it was an awful custom for a person being crucified. They must carry their own cross to the place of crucifixion. Perhaps this was one thing the disciples did not know, did not understand, until after the Lord Jesus had died and was risen again. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Some of us find it difficult to speak on this, because we do not feel, over the years, we have much of a cross to carry. And some of you have had very heavy crosses, very painful crosses to carry. But every believer is called to take up his cross. Take up thy cross, the Saviour cried, if thou wouldest my disciple be. There is a cross of affliction, but when the Lord's people have that cross, the world knows nothing of. We read in Scripture of the afflictions of the gospel in 2 Timothy 1:8. Paul often spoke about it. If he had not been an apostle, if he had not been a preacher, if he had not been a follower of the Saviour, so many of these afflictions, these sorrows, these losses and crosses and sore temptations of Satan, he would have avoided. But the word still stands. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, this is not an easy religion, but it is as sweetly constrained by the love of Christ. But we find it hard to speak of this when we think of some of the martyrs and how they took up their cross, and willingly they went to the stake to be burned to death in their testimony to their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Yet every child of God will be made willing to bear the cross, and in lesser or greater measure, to carry the cross. And some of you have heavy crosses to carry. I think there is this, that if you have a specially heavy cross to carry, the Lord will bless it to you. The Lord will sanctify it to you. You will never be the loser for it. It will profit you. It will be made a blessing to you. Was it not Rutherford who said that the heaviest end of that cross lies on the shoulders of your strong Saviour? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Not the cross. Not a cross, his cross. The cross which the Lord has appointed. On this subject, we cannot help our thoughts going to Moses, the man of God. Perhaps more than anyone, he walked this out, denying himself, taking up his cross. And this is spoken of so beautifully in the Epistle to the Hebrews as a blessed example of the effect of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Perhaps you say, is it right to speak of Moses bearing the cross when this was in Old Testament times? Well, was it right for the inspired writer to say that he endured the reproach of Christ? That is the cross, isn't it? Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Why, seeing that Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people of his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When you think what Moses gave up, what he had to deny himself, he was a prince. It was a great empire. Many people can speak of the need to give up things when they've never had them. Did anyone ever give up more for Christ's sake than Moses did? A palace, a prince, the riches of Egypt, and they were fabulous. The treasures of Egypt, and there were all kinds of pleasures, the more refined pleasures and the coarse pleasures. He was an honored man. If you read Josephus, the Jewish historian, he tells you the greatness of Moses in Egypt. Let him deny himself. And he gladly, willingly gave it up, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He saw it in all the light of eternity. He saw that sin has its pleasures, but that word was burned in his heart. The pleasures of sin, which are for a season. The only pleasures that they will ever know, like the crackling of thorns under a pot, bright and noisy, and then soon gone. And gone forever. He had respect. He saw both sides. The people of God in their bondage and slavery and under the cruel taskmasters. He saw them as the excellence of the earth. Oh, beloved friends, have you ever had a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of God's dear people as the excellent of the earth? And have you felt you could deny yourself all things if only you might be favoured to be one of them? With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. You cannot bear the thought of being left out. But it is your chief concern. Like the Shunammitish woman, I dwell among mine own people. Like Ruth, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, as Moses did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you know what worldly wisdom and carnal philosophy would say to Moses. Have you really considered it? Look at the wonderful opportunity you might have as a ruler of this great empire. What good you could do to the Lord's people. And you think you didn't choose this position yourself? Those mysterious circumstances when your mother laid you in the bulrushes, and it was Pharaoh's daughter who came and adopted you. Surely you're not going to turn your back on all this. Surely this is the Lord's opening in providence. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let him deny himself and take up his cross as Moses did, choosing rather, beloved friends, there is a choice. That is not free will, a free will. That is not Arminianism. There is a choice. The point is, by nature we choose wrongly. By nature, our wills are sinful. By nature, our wills will not choose right. But there is a choice. Oh, for faith, that choice to make. That living faith will still desire the reproaches of the Lamb and esteem them greater riches than the treasures of this life, choosing rather. Oh, that rather, choosing rather. Have you ever had it burned in your heart? That rather. The difference between the poor, despised people of God and the world with all its pleasures and honours that lie in wickedness. Rather, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. We give the world a point. They have their pleasures for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. There is a word in the epistles, trying the things that differ and esteeming the things that are excellent. It's in the margin in Philippians 1:10. Well, he will esteem the reproach of Christ. If you will, it's the worst that Christ gives you. You will esteem it better than the best that the world can give you. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What do we sing? His institutions would I prize. Take up my cross, the shame despise. Dare to defend his noble cause and yield obedience to his laws. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is the secret of it all. It is a person. It is a glorious person, the me. It is Jesus, the Son of God. It is Jesus, the Saviour. It is Jesus who has done so much for this sinner. It is Jesus who loves him. It is Jesus who died for him. It is Jesus who calls you. And it is because it is this glorious person, and because of these constrainings of his love, that this sinner is enabled by faith to deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Oh, how often did the Lord Jesus say to one and another, whilst here on earth, follow me. Now some follow fashion, some follow the world, some follow the man. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of this world's tempestuous sea. Day by day his sweet voice calleth, saying, Christian, follow me. The Lord does not promise an easy way, but he does promise a safe way, and he does promise salvation in it at last, and he does promise that he will be with his people, and he will never leave them nor forsake them, and he will help them along, and he will bring them through, that he will be with them in trouble, and he will support them. Follow me. There is a following of the Lord Jesus by faith. We follow him in his goings forth from everlasting. We follow him in his mysterious incarnation and birth. We follow him in his life and in his sin atoning death, in his glorious resurrection, his ascension to heaven, his exaltation. By faith we follow him. I like that. Dear Jesus, my Saviour, thy truth I embrace, thy name and thy natures, thy spirit and grace, and trace the pure footsteps of Jesus my Lord, and glory in him whom proud sinners abhorred. Follow me. And then, in obedience to his word, and constrained by his love, there is the following him in that narrow way which leads to life. Follow me. You must not get before. Follow me. It means you must go after. Follow me, to tread where Jesus trod. Follow me. He has gone before. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Follow me. And then we read that description of them. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. May this be the great point with you and me, to be followers of the Lamb of God. Because when we come to the end, that is the point that will matter. Not this or that, but were you, was I, a follower of the Lamb? Oh, we do want to be found among the followers of the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We would follow his steps. We would follow him in the narrow way. we would follow him in an open profession of his loving name. We would be followers of the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow him all the way. Follow him right into heaven at last. What do we sing? They marked the footsteps that he trod. His zeal inspired their breaths, and following their incarnate God, possess the promised rest. What then? I asked them whence their victory came. They with united breath ascribe their conquest to the Lamb, their triumph to his death. Followers of the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then through grace, by faith, to be made the follower. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn 1075. 1075, tune Euphony 786. I read the last two verses. O crucify this self, that I no more, but Christ in me may live. Bid all my vile affections die, nor let one hateful lust survive. In all things nothing may I see, nothing desire or seek but thee. Lord, draw my heart from earth away, and make it only know thy call. Speak to my inmost soul and say, I am thy Saviour, God thy all. O dwell in me, fill all my soul and all my powers by thine control. Hymn 786, hymn 1075, tune Euphony 786.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do please blot out all that has been wrong in thy sight, and do, we pray thee, seal home that which is of thyself, that thy word may accomplish that whereto thou sendest it. Do please be with thy servant coming up amongst us this evening. Bless us once more in gathering together, we pray. And now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.